Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost comes from our Old Testament reading of Ezekiel. I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. As far as the text. Whether they hear or refuse to hear, that has to be the difficult part of this whole thing for Ezekiel. Or maybe the easiest part. I'm not quite sure yet. I don't really know how to look at it. On the one side, Ezekiel doesn't have to worry about figuring out what the people want to hear. He doesn't have to cater to their itching ears or their fleeting desires. He's called to preach. Whatever happens afterward is completely outside of his control. Almost as if God has this whole thing figured and worked out before he even went and sent Ezekiel on his way. So it doesn't matter how the hearers are going to hear. At least for Ezekiel, he's to preach the exact same way, the exact same thing, time after time after time. And this should be easy for Ezekiel, because that means his job isn't about results, it's not about numbers. Let God worry about that. Results and numbers, that is way past Ezekiel's pay scale. And so he gets to take comfort in the fact that God isn't going to have to ask him why he doesn't have 100 different people in the pews every single Sunday. Just go and preach the word. But to our temporal ears, that sounds pretty foolish, doesn't it? And it sounds like a foolish business model, and it is. And that's why this call of Ezekiel is probably one of the most difficult things to do, because we like to be liked. And we don't want confrontation. We don't want people to feel bad or awkward or out of place. And the sinner in all of us doesn't like to have his conscience pricked, let alone his conscience actually crushed. And most people don't like being the bearer of bad news, do they? What are people going to think about and say about Ezekiel as he goes about the Lord's business of proclaiming damning and uncomfortable things? How is Ezekiel going to feel when he's ostracized because of the things that he has to say and the way that he goes about this proclamation of the Lord? And I know later on, past our text for today, if you keep reading the book of Ezekiel, God will tell him that he doesn't have to fear the words and the actions of the people that he's going to go preach to, but we all know that's easier said than done. And what makes this even more difficult for Ezekiel is that he isn't supposed to go and speak to the godless nation of heathens. His call isn't to the rebellious unbelievers out there somewhere. That would seemingly be easier. We all think that the world's at odds with God and those who preach God's word, and so who cares what they think about them? But no, Ezekiel isn't called to them. He's called to preach to those in here, not to those out there, to the chosen nation of Israel, to the people of God, because it's this house that's the rebellious house. These are the ones where the fathers have fallen away into the sin of their own desires, and the sons have just gone ahead and followed the lead of the fathers. Ezekiel preaches to the church, to the impudent and stubborn nation of rebels, church. It's within those walls. It's within the church. Those people, they're not going to like the law that's preached to them. And why should they? Who among us likes a damning law that calls a spade and a sin and says, repent, you idolatrous people. Turn from your wicked and evil ways. No one likes to hear that. I know that I don't like to hear that. I don't like to hear that I'm a sinner. And not just a general sinner, but a specific sinner, a real sinner. In some form or fashion, we're all okay with acknowledging that we're a general sinner, although sometimes even that's too hard to hear. But where we really get our feathers ruffled is with specific things, specific situations that are placed in front of us. When real and specific sins are actually called out and called sins, call me a sinner, fine. Call me an adulterer, an idolater, a deadbeat parent, a spoiled rotten child, a selfish money grubber. Call me an unforgiving hypocrite. Call me one of those things and we're going to have some problems. And then add on to that the reality of the fact that I don't need to be excused of my sin as if they were only mistakes, but instead I need to be forgiven of them because they lead to wrath and hell. Well, now you've just gone too far. Say that Jesus forgives me because I'm a sinner, fine. Say that Jesus forgives me because I'm an adulterer or an idolater, or a deadbeat parent, or a spoiled rotten child, because I'm a money grubber, or a hypocrite that refuses to forgive my neighbor. Say that to me, and again, we've got a whole nother problem. The test that's placed before Ezekiel, and dare I say before every single pastor, is whether or not they're going to preach the law of God in all of its sternness, and then preach the gospel in all of its sweetness. Because the two have to go hand in hand. If the law isn't a hard and unmovable boulder, then whatever gospel is proclaimed afterwards is simply just a wet noodle. If sin isn't sin, then the gospel isn't the gospel, and Jesus isn't a savior. If there isn't a way to actually point to something real and specific and say, there, that is evil, then there's no need for a gospel that points to someone and says, look, there, that person is righteous in Christ. Preaching the law is really easy if it's just general and nondescript. And at the same time, preaching the gospel is just as simple if the gospel is just a word of excuse and permission rather than actually forgiveness. The temptation for the pastor, and this is where the devil rears his ugly head, the temptation is that he won't preach the law as the law, and therefore he won't preach the gospel as the gospel. And every single pastor has to actually come face to face with this temptation. Are they going to preach the law in a way that actually crushes sinners? And remember, a pastor is a sinner too. So preaching a damning law is actually preaching damnation to himself as well. And then are they going to preach a gospel that says Jesus is for you and his forgiveness is for you? Or is their gospel just Jesus is everybody's buddy and he just comes around to make you feel good by excusing your sin? When faced with this dilemma, it's easy for a pastor to actually do the more simple thing. Why would he want to be ostracized? Why would he want to risk having people within his own congregation think him a hateful bigot? Why would he want to see people leave the congregation, just walk out the doors, because the law is actually heavy like it is, and it makes people uncomfortable in their sin? No pastor wants that. So the temptation to do away with the law is real. And then the temptation to water down the gospel, that's real too. And so if I may be so selfish as to ask you, pray for all pastors. Their job is difficult and it weighs heavy on them. Because the task set before them is one that makes very few friends and can leave them depressed and hardened. But that's the call that's placed in front of Ezekiel. I dare say that's the call that's placed in front of every single pastor in some sort of way. Because they're called to be a servant and a shepherd. And so, may I be so bold once again as to say to you, if I, as your pastor, ever get to the point where I'm turning the law into just mere suggestions, if I ever treat sin as anything less than the damning thing that it actually is, then please speak with me. Call me to repentance. Call me to repentance. Remind me of my duty to preach the fullness of the law unto your ears. And then at the exact same time, if I ever treat the gospel as just a get out of jail free card, and if I turn the bitter sufferings and death of our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into nothing more than just permission for us to do whatever we want to do, then call me on that as well. Demand from me the fullest, sweetest gospel of the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus, because that is what I, as your pastor, am called to do. The beauty in this text, the gospel in this text, might be difficult to see, but it's right there in front of us. God sends Ezekiel deep into the nation of Israel, God's own chosen people, the church, and he sends him there knowing full well that this people is rebellious, that they love their sin, we all do, and that they very well might hate the words that Ezekiel is going to preach to them. But God sends Ezekiel there nonetheless, because God does not desire the death of a sinner. He doesn't wish that anyone die in their sin, believing that sin is anything less than the damning thing that deserves eternal wrath and punishment. And God doesn't want anyone to despise his word, the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. Instead, he wants and he desires that all would come to repentance and live. He wants and earnestly desires that every sinner would see sin for what it is and then receive the forgiveness of that sin, free and clear, apart from any worth or merit that they have done in and of themselves. God wants us all to come each and every single Sunday here like a beggar with an open sack, believing that by grace, for the sake of a dead and resurrected Jesus Christ, we receive the forgiveness of all of our sins, eternal life and salvation. Why else would you come here? If you want to feel comfortable in your sin, there's plenty of other places that you can go. Or stay home. Enjoy the day off. But if you do find yourself walking through these doors on a Sunday morning, know for certain that the law of God is going to place your sin in front of you, not so that I can point it out and make fun of you and tell you how much better I am than you. Goodness, I'm not. As St. Paul says, I'm a sinner just like you, probably much worse. But after the mirror of the law has done its crushing work, know then for certain that your sins will go no further than this sanctuary. They're removed from you as far as the east is from the west. They are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ. They're proclaimed forgiven in a word spoken over you. And they're washed clean and forgiven in a baptismal drowning. And they're breaded and wined and bodied in blood forgiven. And a meal served and given and shed for you, right here. And all of this is for your comfort. So you don't have to wake up every Sunday wondering what you're going to get at church. It's going to be the same thing that you got last week. And you don't have to wonder if your pastor is going to change things up just a little bit, make things different than he has, preach a little bit differently than he has the last year and a half. He won't. The Word of God never changes. And whether you hear or refuse to hear His Word, the law of judgment and the gospel of free forgiveness in Christ, by the grace of God, these things will be preached to you. And therefore, you can know each and every single thing, every single Sunday, that you will get one thing for certain, and that's Jesus. Salvation will be proclaimed and given. Forgiveness will be proclaimed and given. Jesus will be proclaimed and given. Your pastor can't do anything else. That's what he's called to do. In the name of Jesus.